Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and joined by a couple of friends that I had the privilege of meeting when I was campus pastor at Vineyard Community Church, their Eastland campus. And if you're looking for a wonderful church home, I would encourage you to check them out sometime, 9:30 and 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Phenomenal communicator, and Kevin Clark, and just a lot of wonderful, wonderful people. In fact, when I'm not preaching, which right now I'm currently pastoring a church, I go and attend there. But Tom and Amber are friends that I met back during my time at Vineyard. And like a lot of people, God's blessed in a lot of ways. But like most all of us, they have a story of pain and suffering and disappointment. And one that I know a lot of listeners can relate to, a parent's worst worst nightmare that they had to bury one of their own precious children, and his name was Jonathan. But first of all, Tom and Amber, just thanks for being here today and be willing to share your story.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to be here.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit. I know you guys have four kids, so Amber, I'm going to let you share a little bit about, you know, four here on the earth, obviously one in heaven, but just tell about the ages and your children.
Yeah, thank you. We're blessed to have twins that are Adeline and Wesley Lyons. So a boy-girl set of twins. They're the ages of 8, third graders, and they are starting to get a good personality of their own, let me tell you. And then we'll talk about Jonathan, but he came after them.
Okay.
He passed away. Then we were blessed with a little girl named Tori, actually Victoria. And so she'll be turning 4 this Sunday on November 18th. So, and she is just a little pistol and a spitfire, and she is just full of life and energy. And so she's been just great to have as part of the family. And then our other child is Nathaniel, and he just turned 2. So ages 2 to 8, and 2 boys, 2 girls with us.
All right. Wow. So it sounds like things are kind of busy at home sometimes, huh?
It is a busy but well-loved house.
Well, you guys are. I love your kids, and they're precious. We had Sean Reynolds, a Christian comedian, clean comedian, on, and he, his wife have done a video about the Reynolds go to church in the van, and they have 6 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so you all could probably relate to some of their adventures. But anyway, Tom, tell us a little bit about vocation. I know what you do, but share a little bit with our audience what you do.
Yeah, so I'm currently at Asbury Theological Seminary. I'm finishing up a PhD there. Last 2 years, I've taught full-time for the seminary as their Greek teaching fellow. And I'm still teaching some classes as I write my dissertation. So on the side, I serve, I've been in Vineyard churches for a while now. served on staff at one in Sugar Land, Texas for 4 years or so before we came up here. And I've been did my MDiv here at Asbury, and then I'm finishing up my PhD now and biblical studies. And I do a podcast for a Vineyard podcast called The Vineyardists on the side, as well as I serve for the Society of Vineyard Scholars. So just a lot of various ministry opportunities here and there.
Well, that's awesome, man. Well, you have God bless you with a brilliant mind, and I look forward to checking out your podcast. Tell us the name of that again.
The Vineyardists.
All right. Well, today I want to talk to you about your precious children, one particularly, Jonathan. And Amber, if you will, tell us a little bit about Jonathan.
Oh, my goodness. Jonathan was, I mean, the words we used to describe him was, he was smiley, he was delightful, he had just a very calm manner about him. I'm not sure if all that was him or the fact that we'd had twins and having a single was so much easier that I was you're an angel. It was just like,
indeed.
It was just one of those moments where I was like, this is enjoyable. And that was one of our deciding factors in having another child after the twins was the twins were overwhelming, and it was just a rush into parenthood. And so I really had kind of missed some of the baby stage. Mm-hmm. And so really was just, in having another child, wanted to just enjoy that experience more fully. And we had 93 days with Jonathan before he passed away, and they were just healing from a parenting standpoint to get to enjoy to parent a new child. And then as we lost him, just devastating as well. Mm. And learning what love is like when you're loving somebody that's not here.
Amen. All right. Well, Tom, can you share about that day where, the phone call you got and just about what happened?
Yeah, so we were in the third day of daycare. We had just started. Our twins had been doing at this individual's home. She had been watching them, and so it was the third day of Jonathan being in the mix as well. The prior 6 weeks, I had had the opportunity and the honor of watching him personally. But this is we had just dropped him off. This is at the end of that first week, and my I was in my doctoral advisor's office when I got the call from our nanny. She was breathless, and she communicated that Jonathan wasn't breathing. He had went down for a nap, and when she went in to wake up, he wasn't breathing. And so I, you know, advised her to call 911, which she had. I told her to attend to him, and I would call Amber. And so I did.
Tell us, Amber, about that for you. You get that phone call from Tom.
Yeah, I get the phone call from Tom. I was actually in another conversation, picked up the phone, said, hey, can this wait? And he said, absolutely not. He shared what was going on, and I mean, I still know exactly where I was standing at that moment in time. Mm. And, you know, so I told the person I was talking with, my son's not breathing. And so they amazingly stepped in at that moment, and they actually took me to the hospital. So that they said, you're not in any condition to focus on driving. Mm. And that, it was just amazing how people from the minute that it started stepped in to help. Mm. And, you know, it was one of those things where, and we'll get to this, but you ask God so many questions that don't have an answer. And yet from the minute it started, he provided help, not to remove us from the valley, but to help us walk through it. And that's, I mean, it's 5 years now and we're still walking through it. And we still continue to see God's faithfulness in little steps, even though there's never going to be a good answer.
Well, I love the part that you just said there that, you know, you had a lot of questions, why? And I'm so thankful, and I think that you'll agree with me, this, that, you know, we have a relationship with a God that it's okay to ask those questions, isn't it?
He's big enough for all of our doubts. Mm-hmm. And he welcomes us to come, and he'll work through us, you know, and work with us as we go through those doubts. And you know, I remember one time, and it's still a growing process, but I remember him telling me, you'll learn to trust me again. And I'm big enough for that doubt, and I'm patient enough to wait.
Mm, wow.
And so we're not there yet, but he hasn't given up on me yet either. And he reminds me regularly he's still there. And that helps when you're just trying to figure out how to take the next step.
Well, I have no doubt in my heart that somebody's listening today, you're like, wow, I thought I was the only person that feels like this. And, you know, you're hearing from Tom and Amber, you know, it's been 5 years, and yet there's tears in Amber's eyes, and, you know, it still hurts. And yet they're still talking with God, and he's showing them little signs that he's still there, yet it still hurts. And so for some of you today that you're just so discouraged because of a really painful wound like what Tom and Amber went through, I want to let you know you're not alone. And that's why I brought Tom and Amber on here today. So it hurts still 5 years later. Absolutely. But they're still trusting God. They're still seeing God work. And I hope it'll encourage you and give you hope for another day. So, Tom, you had to make that dreaded phone call to Amber. What happened next?
Oh, so I jumped in the car, and it's a 30-minute drive in from Wilmore. Like, it's a 25 to 30-minute drive in to the UK hospital, to the emergency pediatric. And so I remember driving in and just praying that God would do a miracle this day. And to put things in perspective, I mean, my doctoral advisor is Craig Keener, who's one of the foremost experts on miracles in the world. He's just published on this. I am inundated in what God's miraculous activity, like just research and scholarship on God's miraculous activity in the world today through Craig. As well, I'm Vineyard. And so I've prayed for people, and I've seen people healed, and I've seen God do the miraculous. I've seen the kingdom come in small and in big ways in the midst of us. And so there's a degree to which, like, I knew God could do this, and there's an expectation that God would do a miracle, and he did, just not the miracle I wanted that day. And so I drove in. When I arrived at the hospital, one of the pastors of the church who was in our home group at Vineyard, was already there. He had met us. He had beat me to the hospital. And Micah was there to help us with anything that he could. As he met me, the nurse came out and said, is the father here yet? And I was there, and she took me back to the back into the emergency floor. It was surprisingly quiet. The room was still as I walked in, and all of the cubicles, like little like beds, the areas were all quiet, and everybody in the floor was huddled around a single alcove. and I saw all of the first responders, the fire department and the paramedics and those that were there. They were all huddled around this alcove as doctors and nurses busily worked on our son. And in the middle of those first responders was two chairs with my wife sitting in one. There was probably 20 or 30 people watching, anxiously waiting to see what would happen. Do you want to talk about your experience there at all, babe?
As you're sitting there, Amber, and you know that your child, you know, they're fighting to try to put your breath back into your child's lungs. Mm-hmm. Share with us what was going through your heart, through your mind, as a mom.
It was that moment where you go, this can't be happening. Like, pinch me, wake me up from this dream. And you just sit there, again, I've been a Christian for many years, and it's like, Lord, you're big enough to do this. Like, show up. Come on, get here. What are you waiting for? And just like, how is this going to turn out? You know, he's not a genie in a bottle. It wasn't like, oh, I can make him do what he wants or what I want. But it was one of those things where it was just like, okay, how's this going to play out? And if it doesn't play out the way I want it, now what? Like, you think you're going to be at that point. You never imagine you're going to actually be at that point. And it's like, oh my, like, anytime I think of my parenting moments, it was like, what would I do if? And that was so horrific. I could never imagine what I would do in that moment. Mm-hmm. And then I'm facing it. And I think sometimes we in our humanness don't know what to do in that moment. But God really just showed up. He had people surrounding us. He had people working with Jonathan. He had people tending to us. We had a pastor there. And so as hard as the day was, we never felt like he was far either.
Mm-hmm. And when they called it, I remember you expect a lot of different things to happen in that moment. Surprising even myself, when I talk about like God doing a miracle that day, he did do a miracle. It just wasn't the one I expected. And he showed up in a powerful way in and through us. As soon as they called it, my first response, Amber's first response, was to get up and begin thanking the first responders, to thanking the nurses and the doctors for the love and compassion and them pouring themselves out for in serving our family and our son. And so our response was not one of anger, even though we were in anguish, but of love and of thankfulness and grace. And it wasn't just, there was mourning to be done and they gave us space to do that. Our response to them, and then also later that day, God showed up in just a powerful, powerful way.
Well, we're going to be hearing more about that. Tom and Amber Lyons are our guest, and they're sharing. They're the parents of five children, one that is in heaven now, Jonathan, and they were blessed only to have about 3 months with him. But as you can tell, just a lot of love there for this precious baby boy. But unfortunately, he just stopped breathing while he was being taken care of. And as you can hear, just didn't get the results they wanted. I know there's people listening that have been praying for miracles, and God didn't answer the way they wanted to. But as you've heard Tom and Amber say, God still did answer some of those prayers. And we're going to be sharing and hearing more about those over the next couple of days. So I want to encourage you, if you've had somebody that's, you know, had this tragedy of losing a child, having to bury a child, especially a young one, any age, but especially a young one like they did, have them tune in tomorrow or tell them about our podcast. And that's available on our website at hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.